I appreciate the opportunity to work with the people at CURB. Obviously, I've worked with Tara for quite some time in different capacities, and I've had the opportunity to work with many of the members as well. And I appreciate the interaction and the willingness to work together. I think it's very productive when even if the message you have to share is one you realize won't be appreciated or liked, but the fact that we have a good communication, I think, makes a crop insurance program stronger and allows us to maybe have much more productive working relationship. About 2 weeks after the Farm Bill passed, the Secretary had every agency send him kind of a timeline of when the Farm Bill would be implemented, when different parts would be implemented. I sent him my memo 2 weeks after that, and that memo essentially served as a guideline when we looked at when we needed to have things done throughout the Farm Bill process. Throughout that time, two different instances, I sent him the same memo again, but I updated it, and the changes were in red. So it's been updated a few times, but here we are a year later. I looked at the memo the other day, and everywhere we ended up having to put red letters in because the date changed. It was because things had moved earlier instead of later. And I think in large part that had to do with the good work of the people in the room here and on my team. We held our first meeting, I think it was in May. NCIS organized a good meeting in Kansas City. At that meeting, we all committed to the extent possible that we'd work together, that we would have a transparent relationship, and that we would send things to you. And that we would take your thoughts and make the appropriate changes. I greatly appreciate the turnaround and the work that you all put into it. I realize some of the stuff we sent did not give a lot of time to turn it around, but you did turn it around, and we greatly appreciate it. The Farm Bill is better in the way we implement it because of the input that we received from you. The changes saved, I think, both of us problems and heartburn down the road. One of them that I remember that sticks out was we were headed down a path on SCO. The way it was written, the crop insurance title was very vague compared to Title I for the ARC PLC. Obviously, the issue is ARC PLC and SCO need to align or you have a pretty big problem. It was through the private sector that we learned that perhaps we're going to have a problem if we went that direction. We went back to the drawing board, made some changes, and rolled it out successfully. So I just want to thank you all. I realize that the late nights and dedicating resources to Farm Bill meant you had to take resources from other areas. So I do want to offer a sincere appreciation for what's been done. I also recognize that we have a lot to do this year. While the programs might be up and running, a lot of farmers still need to learn about them. A lot of people haven't signed up. I realize there's a tremendous amount of work to do in addition to the expansions that we're going to be looking at next year. When we spoke the last 2 years, actually, I kind of laid out the goals that I had at RMA. First of all, as an agency head, I wanted to take the agency in a positive direction. The agency was good, but I think as any organization, we could improve. And I wanted to make the crop insurance program stronger. Obviously, it was very strong back then, and I think it's even stronger today after the Farm Bill. And with that kind of those goals as a backdrop, I want to talk a little bit about what we've achieved in 2014 and what we will be working on in 2015. Talking first about the agency is quite a bit stronger, I believe, than where we were even a year ago. The Farm Bill provided some great assistance to us. It provided some funding. It's allowed us to bring on some talented individuals. After the meeting we had in Kansas City, some of the AIP representatives came and talked to me about some of the new people that we had at RMA and some of the new people who are going to be contributing long into the future, and I see that as well. Since then, we've brought more people on, and those people have actually played a role in helping us get to where we are today as far as Farm Bill implementation. Another thing we did is the money was aimed at operating the program, but also program integrity. We dedicate a significant part of the funding to having a third party, an outside party, come in and take a top-to-bottom review of what we're doing on the program integrity side. Basically, looking at our processes, looking at where we spend our time, and helping to make sure that we're spending our time wisely and we're doing the things that are most valuable for the program. One of the other things we did is we brought in a gentleman named Tim Gannon. Tim is the associate administrator. We have two of them now. They work directly for me. Tim's sole purpose is to work on the program integrity side of things to look at everything we do there, as well as another project called Accuracy that we'll talk about in a little bit. 2014, obviously, because the Farm Bill presented a lot of opportunities to expand. It was one of the few parts, I guess the only part, actually, that saw an increase in Farm Bill funding. It went up nearly $6 billion while they cut 23 overall. It provided opportunities to provide flexibility for people who are already in the program, new options for them, incentives for beginning farmers, and encouragement that we increase programs such as Whole Farm to people who were not in the program, and to reach out to organic producers and expand the options they had. The Stacks program was one of the first programs that we got to work on. As you know, the Farm Bill actually has a transition program. It has a two-year transition program. If we did not have Stacks out in time, I'm pleased that a year later, Stacks is available in every single county that has an underlying crop insurance policy. I think that's one of the success stories of the Farm Bill. SCO is available for 7 crops this year, unless you want to pad the numbers and count cottonseed, and then we go to 8. Depending on how you want to look at it. For those crops, we cover between 88 and 100% of the insured acres. The numbers are preliminary, but I do have some interesting numbers on winter wheat. They're preliminary. They certainly can change in the near future. But it looks like nationwide, somewhere around 30% of the policies went into SCO, particularly strong down in the Texas-Oklahoma region, where you have some counties between 25% and 40% participation. Not as strong up in the Montana-South Dakota region, where you have some counties where no producers chose to enroll, and kind of a mixed bag up in the Northwest and some of the wheat-producing regions up there. Moving forward, we're evaluating the next list of crops we're going to have available. We have somewhere around 40 crops, and Tom's on the program later on. I know on Big Data you can ask him an SEO question. He's kind of running that show. But it's interesting. I remember back a conversation I had with a Hill staffer. It was probably 2 months after the Farm Bill passed. The Hill staffer said, do you think it'd be possible before the next Farm Bill's passed to have a specialty crop or two in SCO? Well, here we are looking at 2016 at crops such as tomatoes, dry beans, dry peas, almonds, and apples. Not for inclusion in 18 or 19, but for inclusion this next year, and we do expect to have as many crops as possible enrolled then. I think one of the success stories of the Farm Bill also is the Whole Farm program. You might remember Congress provided some guidance there. They essentially said, if you can have Whole Farm out before, I think, 16, then you don't have to worry about the parameters, but if you don't, we're putting some certain parameters in here to guide you. We met with some farmers in Kansas City in July of 13, talked about what didn't work with AGR and what did work. We had 780, I think, policies nationwide, so I think the latter, they're more focused on improvements than successes. But from that meeting, we worked together as a team and came up with a Whole Farm program. It's available in 45 states. We will be looking to expand that this next year. There's a certain part of the country, especially down in the South, that doesn't have that available. We will try to expand that to them here in the near future. I think one of the reasons that we feel so strongly about Whole Farm in reaching that segment of agriculture is this is a group of people who feel like crop insurance doesn't work for me. We don't have anything that they can benefit from. And that's one of the reasons we're going to continue to work on Whole Farm. One of the things that we're going to do after sales are complete this year, early summer, is we're going to try to bring some of the same people and some different people into a room and have discussions on what we improved that people liked, and what we need to continue to work on. We're going to try to keep that ball rolling and see that program improve. One of the changes that certainly got more attention than a lot of others was the APH exclusion. I see my friend Mr. Wiesmeyer's in front of me. He can talk all about it. He knows it well, as we all do right now. It was an important Farm Bill provision. When I came out with the memo the first year, we tried to be aggressive, but we tried to be realistic. We didn't simply think we had the capacity to put it out this year, and we told the AIPs that, and you guys made plans accordingly. And so really all I want to say on APH is thank you. I realize that things changed late last year. I realized you had to pull resources off of other things. It was unexpected, but I do appreciate that we are where we are today and how quickly you got your systems operating and people trained out in the field. What we do have very consistent with SEO is we're looking at additional crops, additional counties. We intend to have APH available next year for any crop that it will work for nationwide next year. I think organics, we have a successful story to tell. There was an audit a few years ago. We utilized that audit as a way to eliminate the surcharge. We came up with a contract price addendum, which basically says if you have a contract, you can use that contract in certain circumstances to get a price. We've added 18 additional price selections to organics in the last 2 years. And the results now are, last year we saw just about a 10% increase in organic acreage nationwide. One of the interesting experiences I had was an organic farmer this year. I think demonstrating how crop insurance really makes a difference in people's livelihoods. I spoke to two organic groups. This gentleman, who I actually know from a previous job, was at both of them and felt the need at both of them to be a little critical of the contract price addendum. It didn't do quite what he had hoped for. Unfortunately, by the second meeting, there wasn't press in the room, so I decided I'd ask him some questions. And I asked him, if it didn't work for him, what price he'd received. He'd received about $12 for his wheat from the contract price addendum. I asked him what the conventional price was. It was around $6. And I asked him what he had received. He said his market was for $18. So he had just doubled what he would have received without the contract price addendum. Later on, as we were walking out of the room, I talked to him a little bit and ask him, you know, how it was going. And while in front of the group, he was more than happy to kind of complain and jab about the contract price addendum, what he told a story of is that that's actually, those changes had meant a big deal to him. He had had a bad year. Crop insurance was what kept him afloat that year. And the doubling in price had made a huge difference. So sometimes when people come and complain to us, it's good to ask questions about what really happened. And while he did point out areas where it could have provided a better safety net for him, the fact that he's in business speaks to the work of the people who made that happen. Beginning farmers, it's pretty early. Obviously, we don't have a lot of numbers there. The numbers I do have on that is about 1,500 producers spanning 5,000 policies took the new beginning farmer benefits so far. The premium subsidy they received is about $550,000. About 88,000 was waived in administrative fees. It'll be interesting to see how many people utilize that provision coming this spring. Prevented planting. I'm going to move off from the farm bill and move ahead to what we're looking at in 2015. Prevented planting, or what I like to call one of my top 10,589 issues to deal with at RMA. You know, we made some changes a few years ago, and I think they've provided additional clarity. You probably saw in the president's budget, we proposed some additional changes to prevent a planting. I think the goal is to provide a very solid safety net for people, but also not have any encouragement for people to use prevent a planting unless it's absolutely necessary. On our website, we posted a study on Monday that has some different coverage levels that are suggested based upon updated pre-planting costs. Our intent is to move forward after we take some comments and hear what people have to say and just make sure that the coverage levels are in line with preventive planting or pre-planting costs. Livestock. We're going to continue to work on livestock. We had a board meeting yesterday, the Federal Crop Insurance Board, where we worked on some improvements to the PRF program that will be sent out for expert review. That's a program. Those suggestions came from RMA, so I can talk about it because it's not a confidential submission. We've seen steady growth. You know, in 2007, we had 9,000 policies. 2009, 15. Last year, we had 20,000 policies. And while those numbers obviously creeping upwards, we have a lot of room to grow in that area. And some of the changes we're hoping to see will hopefully lead to some further changes there. About a year ago, we started discussions internally on how we can improve measuring improper payments. Last spring, we had a small group of AIP representatives come back to D.C., and we kind of presented our plan for how we would do that. From that first meeting, the plan changed significantly. I appreciate that people are willing to spend their time. I hope they see that we did take their input and significantly modified where we are. We actually received approval just a few weeks ago from the Office of Management and Budget to use that methodology. What you'll see this year is we're already starting to send that information out. We'll start measuring those this year. And the goal moving forward is not just to measure, but to use a new process as a way to identify the root causes and to make changes in the future that fix and reduce the improper payments. So looking back, it's important to have a perspective. You know, during the year, when you're in the middle of Farm Bill, you sometimes wonder, are you doing good? Are you not doing good? How's it going to come off? I compare it a little bit to my time when I first came to USDA. When I first came, I worked at the Farm Service Agency. I came 14 months after the Farm Bill passed. 14 months. At that point in time, I had the opportunity to help finish the ACRE program and to do all the new disaster programs as well as most of the other programs in the Farm Bill. So 14 months after, we still had a tremendous work to do. Here we are a year later. The Farm Bill, in essence, is implemented. We have expansions to do, and we have a pilot here coming up in the near future. But significant work has taken place. I recognize significant work is also ahead of us. But I don't think that the Farm Bill is how we judge our success. I don't think that the new programs is how we judge our success or the fact that they added $6 billion. I think the strength of this program will be determined not by the number of new programs, not by the amount of baseline added, but we're going to be judged over the next few years by our results. Did we serve all farmers? Did we serve all regions? Did we have a safety net for the crops that needed it? Is our program free from abuse? Is it free from fraud? Are improper payments where they need to be? These type of questions will be asked more in the next few years than they ever have before. And what might have given us a passing grade 5 or 10 years ago most certainly won't do that in the future. We already are receiving increased attention. I had my press guy go through the Washington Post and the New York Times and just look at the amount of articles on crop insurance and Farm Bill from the year following the last 5 Farm Bills. The numbers are interesting. I'll just give you the last three of them. 1996, the Washington Post wrote 9 articles on crop insurance. 2008, 12 articles in crop insurance in a year. 2014, 23 articles in a year. New York Times, 4 articles in 96, 6 articles in 08, 37 articles last year on crop insurance. But I believe if we do our job and tell our story, we have a great story to tell. I had a very interesting experience a few weeks ago. A lady who wrote an article, it was in the Washington Post about 3 days ago or something, in the food section of all sections, interviewed me. It was supposed to be off the record, but I was quoted, thankfully. Thankfully, I didn't look too bad. But the article was interesting. This was a person who cares about food policy, who cares about how we support agriculture, who is certainly not from a farm, but interested in farm policy. We talked for an hour. And through the discussion, I was able to explain how crop insurance works. That no, we don't subsidize corn more. Every crop, their premium is going to be based upon the risk to grow that crop in that county. We don't favor one crop or another. Some crops just happen, we happen to grow a lot more, so there's a lot more data. We talked about whole farm. You can read the article, but at the end of the discussion, she very much appreciated crop insurance and appreciated how it works, appreciated the model, appreciated why that is a smart way to provide a safety net for farmers. It seems like the more people understand about crop insurance, the better they like it. Today, when we talk about crop insurance, we often talk about events that were key to the growth of the program. People talk about ARPA, talk about private delivery. We talk about other events like that have put the program where it is today. And obviously, each of those did lay the foundation that has us here today. But I believe the actions that we take over the next few years to ensure that we have a safe net for everybody, to ensure that our program is one that is free from abuse, will have the same impact for the program's future as those did to get it here today. And I very much look forward to working with all of you over the next few years to try to have a program that we can continue to be proud of and that will continue to provide a safe net for farmers. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today, Sherry. Questions? I don't know how much time we got.
Morning, Brendan.
Mike, how are you?
Good.
Mike, I'm just going to say this. So my very first question when I was administrator of RMA came from Mike, and I still remember it.
You'll be happy to know this is a canned question, so just kidding. Besides the numbers you mentioned, putting them aside, not that they're not important, but generally your impression or the feeling of how the farmers have responded to the new coverages and changes in the 14 Farm Bill.
The question is, how have they responded to the changes?
Well, in general, you're feeling, you went over the numbers, that's nice.
Yeah.
But in general, the impression of how they're responding to the changes.
I think people are positive. I also think there are a lot of options out there, and people are still learning a lot, to be very honest with you. I think that question can be answered with a lot more clarity in April or May, to be really honest with you. But I think people are happy with what they're seeing so far. The best example, and I realize it's not a farm bill program, but the whole farm thing, I say that because I've been doing a lot of meetings on the whole farm. People appreciate the changes. They appreciate the improvements. There are definitely some who feel it's going to fit for them. There are some who don't. I think, though, we'll know a lot more come June, April, May, when people really know.
Other questions?
Brian, you mentioned that you had some 30% participation in SCO on wheat. Do you have any projections for spring crops or what your expectations are?
That is a question better asked for Tom Worth. I asked him that last night, actually, because the answer is no, I don't. I don't, honestly. Don't know. Tom says that the numbers here were in line with his projections. My projections are Tom's projections, usually. Yeah, Tom's right back there somewhere, I think.
Brendan, have you been hearing kind of mixed reactions to the acceptance of the Stacks program, and can you comment on that?
Yes, we have been hearing, yeah. But nothing detailed, quite frankly. I have yet to have a producer come in who has actually, you know, looked at rates and come and talk to me. So what we have heard preliminarily was very positive. I think people appreciate the fact that a way was found to cover every single county. Quite frankly, I was surprised at that as well. But beyond that, I don't have any solid conversations that lead me to any more information.
Morning. There's this growing belief in the countryside, for whatever reason, that the March 31st sign-up date may have some extension to it. Any truth to that?
Well, I can't speak for what the Farm Service Agency will do. Obviously, that's their deadline. What I can say is our deadlines will stay what they are. We made the concession, and I also need to express some thanks here because the companies worked with us. There was an extension, obviously, for winter wheat, not extension, but they were able to opt out after a certain period of time. We sat down with myself and the administrator of the Farm Service Agency and the undersecretary probably in the month of March, We knew when SEO would be available. We knew when their regulation would be available. We knew when those producer education tools would be available. And we could see that for winter wheat, the information the producers need to make an informed choice, if it was out, it would be out for a very short timeline. That's why we allowed them to opt out of SEO up to the acreage reporting date, I believe. Everybody knows the rules of the game now. There will not be any crop insurance changes. The sales closing date are the sales closing dates. But I can't speak for FSA.
Other questions?
Presented to us a little bit on questions about the SRA renegotiation and changes that were resulted from the Farm Bill. Do you have any comments at all on the SRA or the renegotiation process or the timing for that, Brandon?
Well, since you're going to ask, that wasn't included in the speech, and it wasn't as if I forgot. I forget a lot of things. I didn't forget that. You know, we've had quite a few discussions at USDA in the last few months on that topic. Frankly, I've reached out to some people in the industry as well. I realize there's many solid opinions, many varied opinions on that. From our point of view, over the next year, the things that I talked about is where our focus will be. It will be with Farm Bill. It will be with program integrity. That's where I want my best and brightest focusing their attention next year. I can't speak beyond that, but I have talked to the secretary, and for the next year, that's where our focus will be. I think any more questions? I don't know how many more questions we want now.
I'll get one back here. Bob.
Thank you. Brandon, I read in the press this morning somewhere that Vilsack had talked about having to do some cuts and wanted to do some cuts to subsidy. And one of the things that struck me interestingly is he was quoted as saying that the companies are receiving a 14 to 15% rate of return. And I'm going to ask you, does he really believe that? Because there are quite a few companies in here, and I bet I would be able to probably not find one that could tell me that that was the rate of return.
I'll be honest. I haven't read the press this morning, so I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. What I try to do from my perspective is do send him some updates occasionally on what's going on, but I haven't read the press clip this morning.
About it Monday. I guess everybody heard that. So I'll follow up on Bob Parperson's question, which is, do you believe the companies are making a 14% rate of return?
No. I mean, the last few years, the way we measure is rate of return on retained premium, and we have all those numbers. The companies have those numbers. Let's be honest. We've had a few tough years in a row. I mean, 2012 was a tough year. This year, obviously, prices thankfully came up in the month of October last year. So the last few years, the rate of return has not been there. Obviously, you can look at different periods of time. There are some many good years before that. But Tom Worth presents me the numbers every few months.
And why don't we, when you ask a question, identify yourself and your company so the administrator has a little context.
Dominic Aldridge, crop reinsurer. I think it was probably 2008 the RMA commissioned a Milliman report looking at the internal rate of return to the industry. We've seen a lot of changes to the industry pretty much based around that report. Is there any review or rewrite or relook at via Milliman, using Milliman, to now look at the changes in the program and come up with the new numbers?
That's a very good question. We haven't had that discussion yet at RMA. I do see your point, and I do, but we haven't had that discussion yet, really.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.